Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. And this very familiar scripture, I want us to look at it together. While you're turning, I want to just mention a couple of things. My dad was in the Air Force, put 20 years in the Air Force, was in World War II in Korea. And so I grew up moving around all the time. And when he retired from the Air Force, we settled in Bossier, which is because of Barksdale Air Force Base being there. And my dad's people were 200 miles south in South Louisiana. My mom's people were 200 miles north here in Arkansas. So I sort of grew up on that base, you know, because they settled there for commissary privileges and all the other privileges that retired people get. So as I was thinking about spiritual warfare, I was reminded of a military base. You know, when you first go in the military, you go off to basic training. And then when you get through with that basic training, there's always a secondary training where they give you a specific training in whatever it is they want you to do. And different branches call it different things. And then they assign you to your spot where you're going to serve for the next, you may be there months or years. And once you get into that base has, like I said, it has the commissary. It has the BX, which is equivalent to a department store and a convenience store, and the whole thing rolled into one. And they have a bank and a library. You know, it's sort of like a little town. So all the things, so as the military person is living there, their family has access to all this stuff that's just like a little town. But over on the flight line, it's different. It's not a little town. It's everything there is a preparation for war. They're either working on the planes, or they're doing routine maintenance on it. They're checking out things. Everything they're doing is in preparation for war. And there was a period of time that we weren't in a lot of wars like we are now, but they still had to be just as diligent as if they were going to go to war the next day, because they had to be ready. And on that flight line, the people were being trained, they were being equipped, and they had to, they rotated who was on alert. And there was facilities they stayed in, like a hotel, whatever, that was right there on the flight line, because they had to be able to have those planes in the air, I want to say in 8 minutes, but that's been a long time ago, but just a real short amount of time, that they had to have them in the air. They had to be ready. They were on, they were constantly being trained and retrained, and so that they would be ready when they were needed. There wasn't time to go train then. They had to be ready when they were needed. And I would realize they were always on alert, but sometimes anything happening in the world, it was a high alert or a heightened alert, and everything on the base changed because everybody was on alert then. I mean, you know, and you could even feel it in the atmosphere among the dependents, the families, because you knew that everything, that we were on high alert, and we needed to be watching out for what was about to happen, and we needed to be ready and go and attack the enemy, or be ready to defend ourselves against the enemy. And you could almost feel it in the air. You know, I've been married a long time, and I hadn't been able to be on the base since I've been married. So you recognize how much I felt that, to be able to relive it now, that you could feel that being alert, being ready. And as I was preparing this, thinking about what to share tonight, I really feel like that's where we are as the body of Christ. Because how many of you know, when you receive the Lord as Savior, you step into a place, you are in the military. Now, if you're not saved yet, you're not in the military because you're already getting beat up and destroyed. Satan's got you. He doesn't have to fight against you because he already has your life and he's destroying you. But as I look around tonight, probably all of us, or most of us, we have accepted the Lord as Savior. Many, if not most of you, are dedicated to the Lord. You're determined to serve him. And because of that, you have been through basic training. You've been through your secondary training, and God has placed each one of you. How do we know that? Because he said he gives everybody spiritual gifts. He gives everybody at least one. So that's your spiritual gift. That's your training. That's what your assignment. Can we say it like that? So as you have your assignment in the body of Christ to be about the Father's business, just as a person in the military would have to be about the government's business, we have an assignment to be about the Father's business. And because of that, we have to stand against the powers of the enemy, because we are at war whether we want to be or not. I was talking to some folks this week, and we've talked about the difference in a battle and a war. You know, sometimes you get a battle here and you stand against it, and you win that battle, and the devil goes on, and you think, well, you just keep trekking right along here, and all of a sudden he slaps you from the other side with another kind of deal. That's because you may have won the battle, but you hadn't won the war yet. We win the war when the pearly gates click behind us. In the meantime, it's our job to stand against the forces of the enemy, not for our benefit, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of those we are assigned to protect. Because we are assigned to protect not just our own personal life, not just our own family, but in the spirit, we are assigned to protect. Just like you've got a list here. Most of you, I dare say there's not anybody that knows every one of those people on those lists, right? But we can stand in the gap and make up the hedge for those folks, even the people that we don't even know, right? If we're willing to take our place and stand there. So look with me to Ephesians 6:10. Now let's look at it just a minute. Y'all know these scriptures probably, but let's touch them just again, just a minute. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." DK, I forgot to tell you what version I was using. You with me? Okay. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Folks, we're in the evil day. Amen? Amen? We're there. "Stand, therefore." When you've done all to stand, you've done everything you know to do to stand, what do? Stand. Just keep standing. "Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." Okay, let me stop there just a minute. So look with me at verse 18. He says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication." And I had in mind to go through all prayers, but I won't. But let me just run through right quick. Psalms 100, verse 4, he says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." So we're going to talk about all prayers a minute. So when we look at this scripture, the first thing we Pentecostals think is he's talking about praying in the Spirit. He says, let me read it again. Got to read that again. "Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit." Absolutely, he's talking about praying in the Spirit. He's talking about praying in the Spirit by speaking in tongues, praying in our prayer language. But he's also talking about praying in the Spirit in the sense you're being led of the Holy Spirit what to pray. Does that make sense? So that's the other way that we pray in the Spirit as we pray. So some of the ways that we do that is listed in Matthew 6, and I'm not going to take time to read that because you're all familiar with the Lord's Prayer, how he breaks that down and all the ways we need to pray. You can take the Lord's Prayer as an outline, but let me just run through some things. So if we are going to pray all prayers, let's talk about what some of them are. The first one is thankfulness. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That's what I just read to you. Before we can pray anything else, we come in and we pray. We praise him. We thank him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. We thank him for what he's done, and we praise him for who he is. Thankfulness and praise looks a whole lot alike, but it's not the same thing. Thankfulness is praising for what he's done for us. Praise is just praising for who he is. Just because he deserves to be praised, whether he ever did anything else for us, right? Just because of who he is. Praising is prayer. Praising is prayer. Thankfulness is prayer. Let me tell you how that plays out sometimes. I want to talk about, you know, the word in a minute. But, you know, if the devil starts hitting you upside with the head with something... Wow, I'm so off my notes, I'm just going there. I remember after my mom and dad died, and we had moved up here, and, you know, it was just one of those, almost a torment thing. You know, I'd be going about my business, and it just hit me again. And I got tired of that grief coming from every direction. And the Lord began to show me how to stand against him with the word of God, but also just thankful. I would start saying, before he could, you know, push me all the way into the pit, Lord, I thank you that I had wonderful parents that raised me to serve God. Lord, I thank you. And go down the list of coming against what Satan was trying to do with a thankful statement out loud and on purpose. Did you get that? On purpose? You know, you stand against the wiles of the devil on purpose, because if you're not doing it on purpose, it just doesn't happen. That we stand against him. So we come into his presence with thanksgiving, with praise, and then we worship him. You know, even back to the Lord's Prayer is our Father who art in heaven. The very first phrase is our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. We worship him. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We thank him. I'm saying it over and over again. I'm doing it on purpose. Be thankful for the blessings that God has put in your life, your family, your health, whatever it is that God is, all the different wonderful things. Sometimes we have so much in this country, we don't even stop and think what we have and how blessed we are. Be thankful for that. Praise him and worship him. Tell him how awesome he is. You know, when we begin to praise him and worship him, his presence begins to come and manifest itself, because he said he would inhabit the praise of his people. He never said he'd inhabit the praise of my complaining. You know, I must admit that some of my prayer, I've said it in the Sunday school class this morning, but sometimes my prayers sound more like griping at God for what's going on. Y'all don't look so holy. Y'all do it too. But when I praise him, when I worship him, when I enter his presence, then he can show me what to pray. Because only then, you know, then we can begin to ask, you know, if going back through the Lord's Prayer again, then after we've praised, after we've worshiped, we've entered His presence, then we can begin to ask for our needs to be met. Then we can begin to ask for the needs of others to be met. Then, more importantly, we can be quiet and let the Spirit of God show us the things that He wants to pray, wants us to pray about, the people He wants us to pray for that we hadn't slowed down long enough to know they had a need. But when we're quiet, He'll show us. And, you know, the truth is, I know I need to do this more. And I'm guessing I'm not the only one that needs to settle down and sit in His presence long enough for Him to show us what we need. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, "Our weapons, the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And if we're going to pull down strongholds, we're going to have to fight with heavenly artillery, weapons, whatever, heavenly. And the only two we have that I see is praise and prayer, praise and prayer together, and then the Word of God. And the only weapon, according to Ephesians 17, that's put in that list there is the Word of God. And we use the Word of God not only by reading it, but by studying it, by meditating on it, letting it get down inside of us. New Age and some of that junk has given meditation a bad rap. But God created it first. We need it. And we don't need to do it like the world's doing it. We need to meditate. Well, sometimes we need to do that too. We need to meditate on the Bible, on the Word of God, to find a verse that speaks to your heart. You know, I used to try to see how fast I could read the Bible through. I don't do that anymore. If you hadn't read it through, you need to do that. But once you've done that a time or two, you know, read it for what you can get out of it, for what you can learn out of it, for what the Holy Spirit is saying, and meditate on it and allow it to speak to you, because the truth is the Word of God is the primary way that God speaks to us. Everybody wants to hear a word from God, and most of you have one in your hand, whether it's your phone or that paper Bible. He's got a lot of words there for us. And that's the primary way He speaks to us. Now, sometimes He does actually speak to us by His Spirit. He'll drop something in our heart. Or someone may give us a personal prophecy. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater there. Just because some of them are not real doesn't mean that there's not some real ones. Well, how are you going to know if they're real or not? How are you going to know if what you're hearing that you think is the Holy Spirit is right or not? Or how are you going to know if this man or woman of God over here spoke something over you and whether it's true or not? The primary way you know is, does it line up with the written Word of God? Number one way you know is, does it line up with, if it doesn't line up with the written Word of God, throw it out, whether it's you thinking it or somebody else saying it. Well, how are you going to know if it lines up with the Word of God? You got to know the book. You got to know the book. We've got to know the book. Because you don't want to miss that word that God is speaking to your spirit, or that word that God is speaking by to someone else, to you, if it's really the Holy Spirit, do we? There's a couple more ways we can know. Does the Word glorify God? Does it glorify God? If it's a person given a prophetic word, does it build that person up, try to make them look good and all that? Or does it glorify God? There's some others, but those are the two primary ways. Is who does it glorify? Number one, is it scriptural? Number two, does it glorify God? Okay, So the words, the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and then the power of the proclamation. And some of you think that girl says that every time she gets up there. Yeah, probably. If you want to see God move, start speaking His word out loud. There's a scripture for every problem you've got. Find it. Write it down or put it in your phone. Speak it out loud until God makes it happen. Because in Isaiah, He says He'll watch over His word to perform it. Amen. He will watch over His word. He never said He'd watch over mine. There's all these different ways to pray. And I'm saying all this, and I left out about 3/4 of this. So we could say that there's all kind of ways to pray. Speaking the word, praying in the spirit, speaking in tongues, all these different ways. And it's not important as important in one sense, which one, as just a matter of doing it, isn't it? You know, sometimes the only prayer you can get out of your mouth is Jesus. You know, when you're standing at a bedside and you've prayed everything you know to pray, and you've done all you know to do, and it's just not going like you've been praying it would, and the only thing you can say is Jesus. That's all you need to say. That's all you need to say to touch heaven. Or when you're stopped on the road because somebody has stopped in front of you, and all you can see in your rear view mirror is a 18-wheeler trying to stop. Jesus! That's all you need to say. So verse 18, Ephesians 6:18, he says we fight the enemy by putting that armor on, standing against the devil, and we do it by praying all manner of prayers. So whatever prayer it is that the situation requires, let's be ready to pray that prayer. Let's be ready to step up there and stand in the gap and make up the hedge, not just for my family, not just for these families around here that we look around this room and we love your families and we love each other. Not just for those families, but for all those that God puts in our path that we can pray for, that we can pray that people come to the Lord. You know, back to the Lord's Prayer just a minute ago, one of the things He tells us to pray there is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we're supposed to pray the kingdom of God into the heaven, into the earth, if we're supposed to pray the will of God unto the earth, what is the will of God? First thing is He came to seek and to save those who be saved. So the first thing that we know, we always know is God's will that we can pray is for people to be saved. So, and then as we walk into situations, ask the Lord, what is your will in this? And let's pray that the Lord will show us His will as we walk into trying to pray into these situations.